Thank you, thank you. Please be seated, please be seated. Have you ever wondered what one preacher says to the other when they hug? This is what pastor said to me. Keep it short. I asked him how long I had to preach. He said, you can preach as long as you want to, but we will leave at 11:45. So those are the constraints. Good to be back at City Point. Yeah. Last time I was here was 2014. This is 2017. At this rate, you'll be much older when I see you next. And some of you who have not been with me before are saying to yourself, I've seen him somewhere before. I could have been driving your taxi. I may have brought you some Indian takeaway. Maybe at my service station. My 7-Eleven. So if I look familiar, that means you owe me some money. Yeah, so I'm looking for you again. What a great church. When you were talking about the clothes that you're sending to Bulgaria and the church opening in Colorado, and I was sitting here thinking, I hope the City Point knows that you're more than a Brisbane-based church, that you have a global vision, that your impact is much, 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 much larger than you realize. And how many of you are grateful to have a great pastor by the name of Mark Ramsey? You know, great, great man of God, and Pastor Lee, and what a great vision they have. And, you know, there are a lot of churches that are doing a lot of work, but it's contained. You have a church without walls and going out and making a difference, and I'm delighted to be at City Point Church. If you have your Bibles, let's go to work. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, the 8:30 church service people were okay. And I'm hoping that you all are better than them. So don't disappoint me over here. Ephesians. Ephesians is written by Paul. Ephesians is written by Paul from prison. He is in Rome. He is in prison. Many of the writings of Paul are known as prison epistles because he wrote them from prison. And he tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. He says this to us. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. Ambassador in bonds. Everyone together. 1, 2, 3. Ambassador in, one more time, ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ambassador in bonds. Now he's in prison. Those two words, ambassador and in bonds, which simply means he's in prison, he's locked up, he's in shackles, he's in chains. Those two words don't go together. How can you be an ambassador and yet be in what? Bonds. An ambassador is a position of high regard. As a prisoner, you have no regard. As an ambassador, you have a position of honor. As prisoner, you have no honor. As an ambassador, they roll out the red carpet for you. As a prisoner, there is no carpet for you. When you are an ambassador, you get to eat whatever you want to. You have personal chefs and cooks. But as a prisoner, you do get whatever slop they give you at that time. As an ambassador, you have freedom to come and go. But as a prisoner, you have no freedoms. But what Paul is teaching us in that moment when he says, ambassador in bonds, Paul is trying to teach us a simple truth. That where I am is not who I am. Because who I am is greater than where I am. Where I am is not who I am. Because who I am is greater than where I am. I may be in prison, but I'm still an ambassador. I may be disrespected, but I'm still an ambassador. My freedoms might be curtailed, but I'm still an ambassador. I may not be not getting the honor that I deserve, but I'm still an ambassador, because where I am is not who I am, because who I am is greater than where I am. Everyone together. 1, 2, 3. Where I am is not because it's greater than. Okay, get your hands out. We'll go some exercise. Some most exercise you're going to get all day. Here we go. We're going to start with where, come to who, and where. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Where I am is not because it's greater than. Now, some of you are not cooperating with me. I can call you out or you can cooperate. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. Is not because it's greater than. Oh, once you know who you are, never let your where define your who. Because all of us have our wheres. Some of you going through a tough time financially, but don't let that define you. Some of you are struggling relationally. Don't let that define you. Some of your jobs and businesses need to be tweaked up, but don't let that define you. Does not matter what the doctor says. Don't let that define you. Does not matter what the financial institutions say. Don't let that define you. What you see is just what you see. But what God sees is greater than what you see. And you may see yourself as a prisoner, but God still see you as an ambassador. Because where I am is not because it's greater than. Oh, yeah. You got to remind yourself of that. Joseph, where are you? I'm in prison. But who are you? I'm the prime minister of Egypt. Daniel, where are you? I'm in the lion's den. But who are you? I'm number two in the Babylonian Empire. Peter, where are you? I'm denying Jesus right now. But who are you? I am preaching the first sermon on the grand opening of the church on the day of Pentecost. Paul, where are you? I'm in prison. But who are you? I'm an ambassador. Oh, let's ask Jesus. Jesus, where are you? I'm hanging on the cross. But who are you? I'm the Son of the Living God. Oh, yeah. I want to remind yourself that where I am is not because it's greater than where I am. Huh. Once you know that, everything changes about you. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 has got one of the most ornate prayers recorded in the New Testament. Look at that. I started this message in the last chapter, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 1 is where the prayer starts. Now, those who don't know who they are. Okay, let's do it this way. If you were locked up in prison, your opening sentence would be, I'm locked up, comma, please pray for me. So you would be asking prayer for yourself, and you would start the letter by saying, I'm locked up. But not Paul, because Paul knows who he is. He's finishing up the letter, and towards the end, just 3 verses before the end of the chapter, says, oh, by the way, you may want to know, I'm locked up. Isn't that amazing? Because when you know who you are, your prayer changes. In fact, when we read this prayer in just a second, you will notice he is not asking prayer for himself. Wee. Have you not read some people's Facebook posts? It's like, really? Life is really that bad? Go on the bridge and jump. Yeah, jump. Get it over with. I'm tired of daily things. Wee. Paul is saying, because I know who I am, I can pray for you. And here is his prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may do what? No. Everyone say no. That you may do what? No. This morning I want to talk to you about three things you gotta know. Three things you gotta know. The first thing you gotta know is the power of the local church. Everyone say local. The power of what kind of church? The local church. This morning I was in my hotel looking for some sermon materials, so I turned on the TV. At least in my hotel room, there were at least four channels in which there was preachers preaching. And as I was watching them, some of them I know, I was praying for them. Lord, bless them. Bless their ministry. Supply their needs. May they reach millions of people. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to remind you of some brutal facts. When you are in the hospital and you need somebody to come and pray with you, no one is going to crawl out of that TV set and come and pray with you. It'll be somebody from City Point Church who's going to come and pray with you. When you're going through a tough time in your marriage and you need some good counseling to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, it won't be somebody from over there. It'll be somebody from in here. You got to understand the power of the local church. Make up your mind that you understand why you are here. You are here not because you wandered in someday. You were brought here. God's plan for your life is to make City Point your church. Yeah, you are here to stay. Nobody can offend you out of here. Nobody can disappoint you out of here. Don't get yourself messed up in a pretzel. You got to know I'm here on divine appointment. God got an assignment on my life. God's going to do great in my life. This is home. This is home. This is home. City Point is my home. I remember when Brenda and I got married about 38 years ago. I said to her, you just need to know, if you ever think about leaving me, I'm coming with you. I'm stuck. You're stuck. And once we decided that is home. We've been through some really, really tough times. Brenda and I don't have arguments. Brenda and I have vigorous interchange of concerned ideas. She's wrong, but I will give her grace. She's not here, so I can say that. I'm very brave when she's not in the room. But once you decide, this is my family. We may have challenges, but this is my family. I'm not going anywhere. This is my family. You cannot offend me. This is my family. You cannot disappoint me. This is my family. God has placed me here on purpose. The power of the local church. Because, let's make sure, get your hands out, get your hands out, get your hands out. One, two, three. Because is not... Because it's greater than? At the end, there will be a test. If you ever want to leave this room alive, you'll have to know that sentence. That is the key password to get out of this room. Number two you got to know is power in the presence of a believer. Power in the presence of a believer. Power in the presence of a believer. Whenever you walk in, something ought to shift. Let me give you the reverse example of that. Have you ever been having a great time, a great party, a great dinner, and then Uncle Joe walks in? Or Aunt Sally walks in? If that Joe and Sally is your name, don't need to offend you, but that's what comes to my mind. And you were having a good time till they walked in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anyone got the courage to raise your hand on that one? You may be sitting next to Joe and Sally. But when you walk in, the atmosphere ought to shift. Because some people walk in and they bring gloom, doom, and despair. The sky is falling, the sky is falling, the Russians are coming. That's what we're saying in America right now. But when you know that you were born again, that He cleansed you of your sins, there are a whole lot of people who don't have a fraction of what you have and still serve Jesus on the tip of a spear. All of a sudden you start realizing that where I am is not who I am, because who I am is greater than where I am. The power in the presence of a believer. Think of it this way. Think about a pot of boiling water, You take a soft egg, and you take that soft egg and put it in the boiling water. Take the soft egg, put it in the boiling water. And if you leave that soft egg in boiling water long enough, that soft egg is going to become what? Hard. Because the water, the boiling water, changed the egg. It changed it from soft to hard. The boiling water changed the egg. If you were a carrot, if you were to take a carrot, same part of boiling water, you take a carrot. And you take the carrot, it is hard. And you put the hard carrot into the water. And you leave it in there sooner or later. The hard carrot is going to become what? Soft. Because the boiling water will change the carrot. The boiling water changed the egg from soft to hard. The boiling water changed the carrot from hard to soft. But if you are a tea bag, you look at the boiling water and say, "Mr. Water, you are big, bad, and boiling." When the egg went in there, you changed the egg. When the carrot went in there, you changed the carrot. Oh, but when I come in there, I will change you. Oh, somebody needs to know. You can change your water. You start by first of all changing the name. No longer is it called water, it is called tea. You change the complexion. Instead of looking like you white folk, you look like us Indians. The complexion changes. The chemistry, the DNA changes. Mr. Boiling Water, you may look at me and say this is a flimsy piece of paper with some leaves in it attached to a string in a piece of cardboard. But don't go by what you see on the outside, because greater is He that is on the inside than He is on the outside. Because when I come in there, I will change you. When I grow up, I just want to be a teabag. The power in the presence of a believer. Number three, the power in the name of Jesus. The power in the name of who? Jesus. Can I remind somebody in this room that at the name of Jesus, demons still flee? May I remind somebody, at the name of Jesus, sickness still leaves. Can I remind somebody, at the name of Jesus, heavenly provisions are made obvious in our life. Can I remind somebody, when the night is dark and the night is long, favor is still waiting for you in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy, somebody say joy. Somebody say joy again. But joy comes in the morning. All that happens at the name of Jesus. It says at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody yell out, Jesus. Jesus. Can I hear you say Jesus? Jesus. One more time. Oh, when you put that name in the atmosphere, everything shifts. When you're going through a dark night and you don't know how to pray, just the name of Jesus. You don't have to have fancy-dancy philosophy of ministry. You just got to know one name. Jesus. 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 Because at the name of Jesus, everything shifts. I remember when I was 4 years of age growing up in a Pentecostal spirit-filled pastor's home in India. I ate some infected food and got sick. Got very, very sick. Very sick. Pretty soon it came to a place that I could not retain any food, could not stand up, could not walk. So my parents took me to the doctor. You know, one of the downsides of being born in a pastor's home, they don't take you to the doctor till you're almost dead. So they finally broke down and took me to the doctor. Doctor diagnosed me as having diphtheria. 1956, India, diphtheria. You can do the logistical sequence on that. Doctor said, he's going to die. Take him home. Love him. He's going to die. So they brought me home to die. For 3 months, I was laid up on a bed, could not retain food. For 3 months, I did not stand up. For 3 months, I did not walk. But then I remember the day my dad picked me up from my bed and brought me to the living room and laid me on the rug in the middle of the living room. How many of you have some childhood memories that come to you just like that? I mean, you're not even thinking about it. It kind of pops in your mind, right? So I, even as I'm talking to you, I can see that red carpet, dingy old thing. You all have the same thing, that carpet. My dad picked me up, set me in that, laid me down the carpet, went and sat in his chair. And said, I'm going to pray for you. My dad could pray the longest prayers. He'd start praying over breakfast, it'd be time for lunch. Almost literally. And he lays me over there, and his usual routine was to anoint me and pray for me. But today was going to be different. He just laid me there. How many of you know that you can be praying for something for years and years and years and years? And then one morning you wake up and say, today's my day. Something rises in your life saying, today's my day. Can I say that to you over somebody's life? Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your... You did not get up and get to City Point Church to hear an Indian yell at you. You came here because you have a divine appointment with the King of Kings and Jesus Christ, the Son of the... You are here on purpose. So he lays me on the carpet, sits in his chair, says, Samuel, I'm going to pray for you. He prayed for me. I don't remember what he prayed for, obviously for healing, but I don't remember what he said. I do remember this. He's sitting here. I'm laying here. I look to my left. Now, for 3 months, I have not kept anything on my stomach. For 3 months, I have not stood up. For 3 months, I have not walked. I look at my dad, 4-year-old kid. I look at my dad and say, can I stand up now? My dad keeps sitting there and says to me, if you want to. And I stood up. Then I looked at him and said, can I walk now? My dad looked at me and said, if you want to. And I walked out of there into the kitchen where my mama was cooking, and she had a cardiac arrest because this boy who was laying there dying 2 minutes ago is now walking and talking. I come by to tell somebody, I'm a poster child of what the name of Jesus can do in your life. Jesus, 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 Jesus. So in the next 3 minutes, I want to talk to you about who is this Jesus. Who is Jesus? No means of measure can define his limitless love. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He forgives and he forgets. He creates and he cleanses. He restores and he rebuilds. He heals and he helps. He reconciles and he redeems. He comforts and he carries. He lifts and he loves. He's the God of the second chance, the fat chance, the slim chance, and when there is no chance. Who is this Jesus? He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of joy. He's the foundation of faith. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway to peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the gateway to glory. He's the highway of happiness. So who is this Jesus? He saves the hopeless. He shields the helpless. He sustains the homeless. He gives purpose to the aimless. He gives reason to our meaninglessness. He gives fulfillment to our emptiness. Who is this Jesus? He guards the young. He finds the lost. He guides the faithful. He rights the wrong. He avenges the abused. He defends the weak. He comforts the oppressed. He welcomes the prodigal. He heals the sick. He cleanses the dirty. He beautifies the meek. He restores the failure. He mends the broken. He blesses the poor. He fills the empty. He clothes the naked. Satisfies the hungry. He elevates the humble. He forgives the sinner. And he raises the dead. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, who is this Jesus? His yoke is easy, his burden light. He is indestructible, he is indescribable, he is incomprehensible, he is inescapable, he is invincible, he is irresistible, he is irrefutable. Who is this Jesus? He's a lion. And he's a lamb. He's a God. He's a man. He's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews, the king of Israel, the king of righteousness, the king of ages, the king of heaven, the king of glory. He's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. He is enduringly strong. So who is this Jesus? He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally gracious. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomena ever crossed the horizon of the globe. He's God's son and he's my savior. Who is this Jesus? Jesus. 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 Oh, somebody yell out Jesus. 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 Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. Jesus. 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 Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Jesus. 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 Somebody allow Jesus. Jesus! Jesus!